Welcome. This is Ikana Day Unplugged, and today is July 11th, 2017. I am Ann Picker, Ikana Day's chief economist, and with me today are Jeremy Hawkins in the UK and Mark Pender on this side of the pond. Mark, this is a big week for Fed speak, to put it mildly. Janet Yellen gets to give her semi-annual testimony on both Wednesday and Thursday to the House and Senate committees, respectively. The Fed released its monetary report to Congress on Friday, which I think is the first time they've ever done that. And tomorrow morning, prior to the testimony, Janet Yellen's opening comments will be available to all. Mark, do you want to take the lead here and talk not just about will they or won't they raise interest rates and lower their balance sheet, but the other issues as well that could come up during the conference, the testimonies?
Well, sure. Actually, the hook here is appointment from Donald Trump of Randall Corliss, and to one of the three open spots on the board. And he is on the record being a monetary hawk, which is a very interesting note, but also being solidly for using monetary tools to adjust monetary policy, which is something that the Federal Reserve and Janet Yellen has been fighting against. And it's basically, I think it's taking, you know, it's a completely legitimate idea to take a systematic mathematical approach to monetary policy. But it's that versus kind of the fly-by-your-seat approach where you're not going to be bound in by any kind of a economic equation. But if you look at it from how I look at it, you know, generals have always been fighting the wars with the prior toolkit. So, you know, they were making battleships during the war, between the wars, and of course the aircraft carrier came along. And if you recall, during the financial crisis just 10 years ago, that all the economic forecasts, whether it was the IMF, whether it was the Fed, whether it was private economists, were all completely, totally wrong. And so I think from that perspective, it does make sense to me to keep open a, you know, I mean, that we have things like, and this will be coming up tomorrow, that'd be the feisty appearance before the House Republicans. And we'll hear things like the Taylor rule, and we'll hear things like the Phillips curve. And these are tools, whether they track interest rates to inflation or unemployment to inflation. These are very specific. These are named after economists. These are very specific, almost idealistic thoughts. And you have something like Nehru. If you think about Nehru, for 20 years, Fed officials have been arguing Nehru, and we're seeing something right now. We're seeing very low unemployment, but we're not seeing any wage inflation. So we're not even seeing a hint of wage inflation, really. So and so these models are not really working like they're supposed to. But if you just look at the term non-accelerating inflation rate of unemployment, this is an ideal. This is the ideal that there can be a certain a rate of unemployment where it would equal, you know, no inflationary pressure. So I think it's an idealistic, I think, and it does have a point, and it is interesting to listen to. But I think you're going to see Janet Yellen fighting very strongly against it tomorrow, and I think her ideas are going to win the day. But there is, you know, you have the, for Jeremy, for instance, you have the inflation report and the Bank of England, which is something like some kind of a mechanical methodological approach to all this. But, you know, statistics are statistics. If you look at, for instance, how do you model, you know, what the perfect rate is? If you take something like the ADP report or the ISM report, what they'll do is they'll go back and they'll, in the ISM's case, they'll be revising seasonal adjustments in the proportions of their components in their composite index. ADP takes a mix of different kinds of things. And but they look backwards, and then they find the best proportions for looking backwards. But when you move that forward, it doesn't work out. The economy is always changing. People are always changing. Like right now, there's some kind of, you know, there's something going on in the retail sector, and so these things are you know, always changing. So it makes economics isn't really a physical science. It's not. It's a social science, and because of that, you need to have, I think, a little bit of room. But it'd be interesting to see. I think that Janet Yellen is. I think that what they're really going to talk about is when they're going to start unwinding their for the markets. The big concern will be when will they start unwinding their balance sheet. Will it be September? The minute showed a descent and an uncertainty, and apparently more doves than hawks. Hints, you know, verbal hints that there was more looking for something later in the year to begin. Because after all, inflation right now is dead, and we had the employment report last week. Solid, best report we've had all year. Solid payroll growth, but average hourly earnings are slowing. So again, it's that, you know, it's that the unexpected economic outcome, and I think that the monetary tools are interesting topic right now, and that Trump would select a person in favor of them, and also who's a little bit hawkish.
Mark, from yes. What you're saying, basically none of the economic rules work anymore, which is, I suppose, is clearly not just true of the US, but it is kind of everywhere. And I think, you know, these economic models are great when they work, but not so great when they don't. And we're kind of in that period now, I think, since the Great Recession, where quite simply, you know, the economic data on which those models were based are no longer apparent because structures and everything else has changed.
Mm-hmm. The relationships.
Whether that's permanent or not, yeah, relationships are gone. But does that not then mean that the idea of, say, having, let's suppose, a point target for inflation or even a growth target kind of goes out the window, and it would make more sense for the Fed to go down the route of, such as the Bank of England, you know, to have some kind of target range? I mean, here, for example, we have inflation running at almost 3%. Now, the Bank of England's point target is 2%, but effectively they have a tolerance band of 1% to 3%, which means they can justify, at least so far, not raising interest rates. Do you think the Fed should perhaps start going down a bit more that route, a bit more flexible?
Well, they've already been doing that the last few months. When inflation was gradually moving to the 2% target, very glacial movement, but it was going in the right direction. These topics weren't really discussed, but then all of a sudden, instead of talking about the 2% target, they started talking about a 2% line, and that you can have a plus or minus in this line. So I think they're already broadening out. But you know, it's also, you know, to have a precise inflation target is also a little bit of an idealistic thought, right? Because in for instance, the methodology between the CPI here, which is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and then the PCE, the personal consumption expenditure inflation index by the Fed, has its own methodology and takes in numbers from all other different places. They're very different sets of numbers. Now, what number is going to be believed? And also, there's revisions to these numbers, and there's lots of uncertainties. And to think that you can take a number and put it into equation and then come up with a precise time, I think is unreal. But Jeremy, I have a question for you. How does the inflation report restrict the Bank of England?
Apparently, it doesn't. Not so very long ago, the inflation report was seen by financial markets as being, you know, a potential major trigger point for changes in UK monetary policy. But as of the last report, we saw the inflation being forecast essentially above 3% throughout, well, certainly above its target rate anyway, throughout the entire forecast horizon of 3 years, which, strictly speaking, should suggest that monetary policy here ain't tight enough. It needs to be tighter to bring inflation back down to where it's supposed to be. So I think already we're seeing this gradual diminution of the importance of some of these old rules. Yes, the inflation report is still useful. Yes, it's still used, not just for the UK, but I think a lot of other central banks will use something similar to justify any changes in monetary policy. But also, I think that they're kind of grappling in the dark and trying to find something else they can justify in order to shift interest rates or quantitative easing or what they may want to do. So over here, I think at the moment, I mean, the big talk really is not so much about the quarterly inflation report as what's happening to wages. The bank over here, in line with the Fed and the ECB, all kind of admit, look, inflation is far too low, or not so much for UK, but underlying inflation, even the UK, is still quite low. But ECB in particular, inflation is very low. And wages are not responding to, as you mentioned, the Phillips curve, the tightness of a labour market. So we've got to start looking at something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to point this out. I think economics and especially Federal Reserve policy, over the years, it's not really meant. It's a veil of empiricism. When it comes, push comes to shove, ideas will be turned a bit around. They'll be massaged, and the Fed speak really isn't something that you can look into very hard. You will find, I think, in the ultimate, what it would be is will. It's the will of the policymakers that will force the cause and effects into place. And maybe that's what the policy tools, the idealism there, that you can avoid that, take that power away from the policymakers, because it is highly powerful, and they're out of, they're in between they're in between the presidency and the Congress, so they're their own thing, and they wield a lot of power, and by restricting them with something would eliminate that power. And of course, not only they're going to fight against that may ultimately be the unsaid subtext behind what we might hear tomorrow with the House committee.
Something which I think is interesting, can you hear your view on it? A feature which has become more and more prominent within Europe now is communications from the ECB. I mean, we're nothing like as far along the monetary policy tightening curve as the Fed is, quite clearly. But over here, the market focus is gradually shifting towards when the central bank will become less accommodative. Now, we've seen this sort of subtle modification of the ECB's forwards guidance already, but realistically, not a great deal else. Now, something the central bank is very much alert to, and it keeps coming out in the minutes, is that it's concerned that as and when it drops a few hints that it will start tightening or it's going to become less accommodative, that the financial markets will get far too far ahead of themselves and effectively tighten monetary conditions faster and perhaps more aggressively than the central banks actually want. Mm-hmm. And so this communications angle becomes, I think, increasingly important. And I wonder, you talk about, you've got the speakers, your side coming up this week, how important, what they say, precisely how they say it, is going to impact markets.
Well, it's, I'm not sure how much they improve it. You always hear, now and then anyway, consistently, that a Fed speaker will say something, and then he'll say the next day, or they'll say the next day, that the press got it wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, no. I mean, it's like you have to get it right then. And they do speak in jargon, and they do speak, I have to write this stuff and interpret this stuff. And they may not think they're in their own world, but they are. And the terminology they used, it isn't everyday language. And it really, if you want to have good communications, it will. But it's inevitable as far as market reaction. The market's going to react to what they think, they'll extend whatever it is, like you said, they'll do it immediately. I don't know how you can avoid that by hinting. The first hint of greater accommodation is a hint. But it also, Jeremy, it also suggests that there's a unanimity at the ECB. And when everyone gets together and then they're going to be more accommodative, or will someone come out and say something that goes against the view there? I'd say that the Federal Reserve is right now, we have, one dissent right now, but generally, it tries to speak with a single voice. And so now this voice is changing here between, are we going to get a December wind down or a September wind down? So that's where the debate in our voice right now is. And I think that that's where this communication thing is right now with us.
Thank you, guys. That was a most interesting discussion.